Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
Have you ever noticed that some of the promises we find in God's Word have an interesting way of almost being kind of a double-edged sword? On the one side of the coin, depending on what's going on in our life, they can be a source of incredible comfort. On the other side of the coin, there's sometimes, boy, we look at the promises in God's Word and they can be quite convicting. You know, a classic example of this is found in Psalm 139. Maybe you're familiar with this. It is certainly one of the most beloved psalms of all time. King David there says, "O Lord, you've searched me and have known me. You know my down-sitting and my uprising. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. For before there's a word on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've encompassed me both behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your presence and where can I flee from your spirit? If I ascend into heaven, behold, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, O Lord, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say to the darkness, cover me, and my day shall be as night, even darkness is like light to you. Darkness and light are alike to you." Well, you know, we can see in that passage very easily the comforting parts of that. There's no way we can ever outrun God's love. There's no way that God will ever turn his attention from our lives. But on the other side of the coin, there is a convicting part of that as well. There's no way we can ever outrun God's love. There's no way he will ever take his gaze from our lives. And depending on how we are doing at a particular moment, that is either going to be a passage that will either thrill you or maybe even chill you to the bone. God is watching. God is aware of what's happening to you and to me. And when we grasp that simple truth, boy, let me tell you something. It's not only something that could be comforting to know that we're never alone. It's not only something that can be convicting that, yeah, God knows exactly what we're up to, but it can also be one of the most constructive truths that you and I will ever encounter in our walk with God. And as we continue our exploration of the book of Proverbs chapter 22, we're going to see how that simple truth that God is watching can transform our lives. So let's pray and ask the Lord who watches over us to watch over our hearts and to cause us to see his word, perhaps, in a different way by taking that simple yet powerful truth to heart tonight. Lord, thank you that your word tells us all about what's going on in your heart, your mind, your intentions, your plans for us, the depth and degree of involvement that you have within our lives. Lord, it's stunning. It's staggering in so many ways. So, Father, we pray that as we take a look at these truth bombs that we find in Proverbs, that you would cause them to find those areas of life that you just desire to see your word implanted and explode, explore our hearts, reveal to us your amazing truths. And, God, we pray that as a result of this, we'd not only understand more and more of how to live our lives in a way that honors you, but why we need to live our lives in that way. And the old adage really is true, Lord, that he who knows the why of life can live with anyhow. The most important thing is you matter to us and we matter to you. So allow us now to align our lives practically and personally with that amazing perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've been with us in our study in Proverbs chapter 22, as we've launched into another section the book of Proverbs. As Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 17 embarks, we've seen that these bite-sized bits of blessing that we find in the book of Proverbs have been expanded a little bit. The section of Scripture, Solomon goes into more and more detail about some of the issues we've covered in Proverbs, but also some of the issues that we have not. You know, again, as we embarked into this section, we saw that in verses 17 through 21, we really get a blow-by-blow description of how to get the most out of our study in God's Word. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I've instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make known to you the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send you? Well, here's a three-point maintenance plan for getting the most out of personal Bible study. First of all, hear the word of the Lord. Incline your ear to it. Apply your heart to the things that you hear. Allow them to touch you in the deepest parts of your life. Don't keep out signs in any part of your life to the truths of God's word. But even more importantly, let them be fixed on your lips. You know, if you could come up with something better to share with people than God's word, then by all means, share it. But, you know, if you encounter people who are hurting, who are struggling in this world, and you have a grasp of God's word, instead of trying to, draw out treasures from your own experience or your own background, your own perspectives, your own philosophies, what a wonderful thing that when we can share God's word. As Proverbs tells us, a word fitly spoken is like an apple of silver in a setting of gold. You know, it's just the perfect thing, the most beautiful thing, the most appropriate thing. And that's why we need to be students of God's word. Sometimes people will say, I hope nobody comes up to me and shares a deep problem because I wouldn't know what to say. Well, may I say, if you become familiar with Proverbs, you may have a thing or two to say. Not that you can diagnose all the problems and solve every difficulty that comes, but by steering people to God's word, you are going to have something to say. And again, the most important thing that we can get out of any kind of Bible study, as we see here, is that people's trust may be in the Lord. I'll tell you, if the way you encourage people in God's word gets people addicted to you, so that you alone are the paragon of virtue, you alone are the only fount of God's knowledge, then you're doing it wrong. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, we are told that we are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so, you know, the thing that blesses me most as a pastor aren't people that say, come rushing up to me after service. Oh, I got this question. You're the only one who can answer my question. You know, I mean, I know the prayer team's out there, but I got to talk to you. Boy, that kind of grieves me a little bit because, you know, again, it's all about God's word. It's not about a person. You know, the thing that really blesses my heart as a pastor is this. When I see people, especially people who've been here for quite some time, not necessarily coming up and wanting to share with me after service, and that's always great, and I enjoy the fellowship, don't get me wrong. But what really blesses me is when I see people who've been here for a while, who've been taking in God's word, look at the gatherings that we have, the times that we have afterwards, as an opportunity to be able to share. As an opportunity to be able to take the good things of God and to be able to look around and maybe see somebody they don't know. Maybe get out of their own comfort zone, their own little group that they're used to hanging with, and take a truth to somebody who really needs it. You know, if they see somebody who's looking downcast and discouraged, you know, they come alongside and say, hey, you know, what's going on? At the very least, you can say, can I pray for you? Boy, you know, sometimes I think we really grossly underestimate the simple power of saying to somebody else, can I pray for you? There are so many people who have never had somebody pray for them, believe it or not. You can be different. You can be that kind of conduit of God's truth. And again, we need to know what we believe and why we believe about God's truth. Verse 21 says that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send you. Well, that's where apologetics, if you want to use that term, comes in. Knowing what you believe and why you believe it, about your confidence that the Bible really is God's word to man and not man's word about God. The more confident you are that you're sharing God's truth, boy, the more confident you're going to be able to come alongside others and to be able to connect them and communicate God's truth to them. You know, and so we see in Proverbs chapter 22 that that instruction manual to get us on the right track. And again, as we get into Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 22, we see a great opportunity to be able to apply these truths in God's Word. There we read, "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them." Now notice what we are told here. The Lord is going to plead the cause of those who are ripped off, those who are taken advantage of by those who are in power. You know, a couple things about this. You know, first of all, notice the Lord is going to plead the cause of those that end up on the short end of the stick in this world. And there's a couple things about that. That simple phrase, the Lord will plead their cause. Did you know that God has a definite and decided bias towards coming alongside and pleading the cause of the helpless, pleading the cause of those that are, in a sense, being oppressed in this world, those that seemingly have all the odds and all the circumstances of life stacked against them? Man, this is awesome news if you're walking with the Lord. Did you know you've got an advocate? Did you know you've got somebody on your side? You know, you drive around town and you see these buses, you know, with a wrapped advertisement on them. I'm just amazed how often those buses are all about getting involved with some kind of personal injury attorney. You know, you watch television, you see all of these commercials about, you know, if you've been injured in an accident or something, and, you know, there's these other attorneys that are on, and they're saying, if you took this drug or something like this. You know, I saw one attorney saying, if you took the drug Xarelto, for instance, you need to call me because there's a class action lawsuit. And it was so fascinating to me because right after I saw this ad for the attorney, the next commercial that was up was an ad for Xarelto. And you know, all the happy people dancing around all of a sudden. I was like, wow, you know. Something's going on here. But, you know, there are these people that basically put themselves forward as, you know, I'm the champion of the, you know, the oppressed, and, you know, I'll stand in your corner against the big pharmaceutical companies or the big corporations that have done you wrong and so on. We're going to see what's fair. And, you know, it's nice to know you've got somebody in your corner, I guess. And that's why these outfits do land office business. But do you realize that you've got somebody in your corner whose advertisement can never fit on the wrappings around a bus? You know, you've got an attorney on your side, believe it or not. The Bible tells us that there is someone that is pleading your cause even as we speak. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 31, that's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. When I feel a little discouraged, when I feel like life is a little overwhelming to me, when one thing after another kind of comes my way, whether it's large or small, one of the things that the Lord always brings me back to are the truths that we find in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. It says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who will be against us? If he didn't spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him freely give us all things?" Boy, I'll tell you, on Tuesday morning, I really needed that passage of Scripture. Tuesday was one of those challenging days because I had my appointment with my tax guy to do my taxes, which is almost like looking forward to getting root canal done, you know? I mean, you know, you just kind of want to find out how bad the damages are going to be. So that's on my mind, right? And I get up in the morning, I go, well, you know, before all that gets going, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to have a little workout time with you, and it's going to be great. I can just clear my mind. And I just had this vision in my mind of just going out for a nice little run and spending time with God. Well, as soon as I got out the front door, I looked out in our cul-de-sac, and there is trash everywhere. Trash everywhere. I mean, just the whole cul-de-sac was just filled with trash. And I looked around, and lo and behold, our friends the Javelinas had come by to visit. But they were very selective in their buffet that night. In that, I looked around and I noticed that the cul-de-sac is full of trash, but it's my trash. Not a neighbor's trash. Not the guy down the street. Everybody else's trash cans are in the precise place they left them, except for mine. Mine are in the middle of the cul-de-sac, and man, you know, just everything is just gonna arise. All right, clean up the cul-de-sac. Trash. All right, my plans are going to miss. Then I get done cleaning up the trash, and I go back into the garage where I tend to work out, and there's like this smell. Now I can't tell where the smell is kind of coming from, but I know there's kind of a smell, and lo and behold, when someone had taken out the trash, they didn't really get the trash all the way out to the trash can, and there was like one of those Costco chicken carcasses, you know, that had been left behind, and don't worry, the chicken carcass was going to good use because there were all these maggots all over the top of it. I'm going, trash in the cul-de-sac, maggots on the chicken. What in the world is going on here? And I'm starting to loosen. Tax day, trash, maggots. Yeah. And then that scripture came back to my mind. What shall we say to these things? Now, I realize the Apostle Paul's talking about bigger fish to fry than just trash and the maggots and tax day. He was talking about real problems. And I realized, you know, I don't have problems. I've got little disruptions. I don't have problems. People in the Middle East right now have problems. You know, I've got little irritants going on here. And, you know, what should we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? If he didn't spare his only son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? God's bigger than all of these interruptions. God's bigger than tax day. And then it goes on to say, just this beautiful thing. If God is for us, who will be against us? If he didn't spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him freely give us all things? Who is he who condemns? It is God who justifies. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is Christ Jesus, now catch this, who not only died, but is risen, is seated at the right hand of God, who will also make intercession for us. What shall separate us from the love of God? Well, the obvious answer is this. If Jesus is pleading your case, if Jesus is on your side, if Jesus is on your team in the midst of all this, if God's for you, who can be against you? You know, again, we see this principle being brought into play here in this passage of Scripture. The Lord is going to plead the cause of the oppressed, of the afflicted, of the person that doesn't seem to have any kind of worldly connections. In this world, you know, it's not who you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? You know, it's the golden rule, he who has the gold rules. But here we see that God operates on a different principle. And if you're godly, boy, that's good news. You know, I love what 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says about all of this. Writing there, the Apostle John, this is another one of those verses, boy, you really need to have at your fingertips in this crazy world. There we read, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours only, but also for the whole world. Well, that term advocate literally means a defense attorney. He's pleading your case. He not only died to pay the price for your sins, he forever lives to make intercession for you and for me, to keep us saved, to keep us right with God in the midst of all of these trials and tribulations. You've got someone on your side, the ultimate someone. Now, if you're ungodly, now this is one of those double-edged swords, right? God's watching, God's pleading the case of his people. Doesn't matter if they got resources in this world or not. But if you're ungodly, boy, same thing is true. Do not rob the poor because he's poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. You know what this is saying? God is the one who's going to balance the books. God is the one who's keeping score. And no matter how with it and together and connected and powerful you are, there is always someone greater than you, and that's God. God's opinion is what matters. God's judgment is going to stand. Boy, there's a classic example of this in the Old Testament. You know, it's the story of King Ahab. King Ahab was a king in northern Israel. He was probably one of the most notably ungodly kings that Israel ever had, as far as the northern 10 tribes are concerned. And there was a reason for that. Ahab married a woman by the name of Jezebel. That's right, Jezebel. Now, you know, I get to do a lot of baby dedications as a pastor, and in Christian circles, especially Bible-teaching Christian circles, there are people that will name their children after biblical characters. And I've seen an awful lot of very creative biblical names given to individuals. And yet, in all my years of being in ministry, and I've been in ministry since 1981, I have yet to dedicate a little baby Jezebel. Now, there's a reason for that. Jezebel is probably one of the most rotten people you could find in Scripture, and just an incredibly harsh and mean-spirited individual, a woman given over to idolatry, a woman who didn't mind slaughtering people if it meant getting her way. Interestingly, I was hunting around on the internet and doing a little word study on Jezebel. I clicked on a Google search on the name Jezebel to see if it had become popular. In essence, the thing that was shocking to me is, do you know that there's a Jezebel.com out there now? Jezebel.com, its tagline is celebrity, sex, and fashion for women. So I think the biblical Jezebel would probably be, you know, a follower of this particular website, because she was all over all of that. Now, Ahab was a man who was absolutely dominated by this woman, Jezebel. Jezebel came from the countries north of Israel at that time and brought with her Baal worship. And Ahab, you know, well, I guess we could say, you know, I'm sure Jezebel and Ahab had conversations that probably went something like this: are you a man or a mouse, Ahab? Squeak up. Because it seemed like whatever Jezebel wanted to do, Ahab was more than willing to go along with.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.